ध्यायामोदबलावमण्डलवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। Discussing Narada's Bhakti Sutras. So today we will discuss the five sutras from the 7th sutra till the 11th sutra. So if anybody wants to download Narada Bhakti Sutras online, they can go to sanskritdocuments.org where they can find Sanskrit version. An English version or translation can be found at shankaracharya.org, shankaracharya.org. There you can find Narada Bhakti Sutra. So in the last day, we saw Narada like speaking about the phalam or the fruit of bhakti or real devotion. So we, just to recap, so bhakti or bhakti devotion, what is devotion? Narada characterized devotion or gave two qualities or two word explanation for bhakti. So one is parama premam, supreme love, where a person merges onto Ishvara, and the second is amritam, which is immortal. And a person who has got or achieved this devotion means a devotee. So a devotee is a person who is ever blissful, untainted by sorrow. And we can see Ishvara pervading the very presence of such a devotee. So such a devotee's presence, such a devotee's action, such a devotee, whatever he does, whatever he thinks, everywhere we can find Ishvara's presence there. So here we can have a doubt. So a person can get a doubt here. So you said about love. So love means like, that means that you desire something. So you desire moksha. So desire for moksha. Of course, a person who has learned the scriptures incompletely will often say that, oh, sadhaka, a sadhaka should seek moksha. Whereas a person who has learned the scriptures completely in the right way will say, oh, moksha, everything in the world, whatever you are doing, is not to gain moksha, is to renounce whatever you have gained. So when everything is renounced, what would remain behind? Whatever remains behind is the self. So this is the process of neti neti. So when everything is renounced, our very nature, which is Ishvara, that will remain behind. And that nature is ever realized nature. So some spiritual masters might say that, oh, you have to put realization on your list. Of course, what does that mean? Well, you have to give importance to realization. You have to gain realization. So many people will say that, of course, such a wording is fine. But really speaking, what is realization? Realization is not gaining anything new. It is just renouncing whatever we have gained, going back to our natural state. So it's like a person who has put on some dress. So, like another person might say, oh, you have to become naked. So how can you become naked? You cannot become naked. You just have to remove the dress that you have worn and you'll become naked. So it's, you have to become. Their becoming means renouncing things and realizing that I am already that. So that's why knowledge, we say moksha is realization. Realization means I am already in mukta, realizing what we already are. It's not gaining. It can be, we can, like, figuratively say that it is gaining or attaining or becoming, but in fact it is just realizing. So similarly in bhakti also we can have the doubt, like, aren't you becoming Ishvara? Don't you have to have the desire to attain Ishvara? No, not at all. So Narada says, there is no desire at all in bhakti. Don't even doubt that there is desire in bhakti. So he says, Sa na kamayamana nirodha rupatvat. Sa means bhakti. Sa is, as we discussed, sa is pulling. Bhakti is a word which is pulling, therefore it is said as sa. So sa bhakti na kamayamana. Kamayamana means like it's not something that is desired. So there is no desire for bhakti, desire in or for bhakti. Why there is no desire? Nirodha rupatvat, because it is in of the form of renunciation, of the form of giving up. So it is the same thing that Vedanta says as neti neti, not this, not this, not this. So going back to Ramakrishna Paramahansa's like beautiful example, what is neti neti? Oh, you say neti neti, it seems very simple, like I'm not able to understand it. Give me an example. So give me an anecdote, like anecdote, dot or dot, whatever, however is the right pronunciation. So that's the word which is which Amrita Swarupananda likes a lot. Of course, that's the right word. Of course, we can also say it as an example or analogy here. So Ramakrishna, Sri Ramakrishna says that a person, like a thief, of course, a thief. So a thief goes into a house. So the thief goes into the house and he wants to steal something. So while stealing, like the light is not there. So like what he does is he wants to first find out the person living in the house. Of course, he can't steal without finding the person. And we know what rest he has to do with the person, give him some drug or something and make him unconscious. So after that he can do. So the thief, what the thief does, thief touches things with his hand, he touches things. Oh, this is a laptop, this is not the person, this is not the person, this is not the person. Finally he finds the person and he says, oh, this is the person. So neti neti, not this, not this, not this. Finally, what will happen, what will remain behind is Ishvara. So in Ishvara Chinta, or merging or becoming onto Ishvara, there we renounce everything. Everything has to be renounced. So Nirodham, it is not of the form of desire. It is the form of leaving all desire. So that is the reason why Amrita Swarupananda, when he spoke in Seattle, I guess, so in Seattle, that's where he spoke that moksha, I don't need moksha. A bhakta doesn't need moksha. He just doesn't need moksha at all. He just needs Ishvara. So, muktikyam illamme tellumasha. So one of Amma's songs says that muktikyam illamme tellumasha. Muktikyam illa, not even for liberation. Asha, desire, tellum, not even little desire I have, because bhakti is when a person renounces everything and just takes on to Ishvara. So Ishvara, of course, it's very simple to understand this nirodham. It's not to be desired, it's to be renounced. Renunciation is the way to realization. That is very easy to understand. The world, the jagat that we see, has come from Ishvara. It is Nama Rupam. Jagat can be seen. Ishvara, on the other hand, cannot be seen. So whatever we see, whatever we perceive, we have to renounce that. We have to negate it. And when whatever we perceive is negated, what will remain behind? That which cannot be perceived, that which is the essence, which is Ishvara. Of course, how is Nirodham? Like, what is? Can you explain this Nirodham a little better? Can understand it. Nirodham means renunciation. I can understand negation. Can you explain it a little bit more? So Narada says, Nirodhastu loka veda vyapara nyasaha. So Nirodham or renunciation, what does it mean? Nirodhatu. Here Nirodha is Loka Veda Vyaparam. So Vyaparam means activities, Loka Vyaparam and Veda Vyaparam. Nyasaha, Nyasaha means renunciation. That's why Sannyasam means Samyak Nyasam. Samyak means clearly Nyasam, renouncing is Sannyasam. So Nyasaha, worldly activities as well as Vedic activities. So all actions have to be renounced. So that is renunciation. So all actions have to be renounced means, does that mean have to renounce actions? Does that mean I should stop doing actions? No, not at all. So it's not stopping actions. But if we look at actions, what are actions? So every action is, even as Newton says, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Similarly, every action has a desire behind it. So each and every action has a desire behind the action. So we do actions seeking something, the desire is there. And that desire has to vanish. So when will a person become satisfied? A person will become satisfied when he doesn't seek anything. Whenever we are seeking something, that itself means we are dissatisfied. Seeking has to end. So that's why once a person asked Sri Sri Ravi Shankar as to, how can I become like you? Then he said, stop becoming. Stop becoming. We try to become somebody, we have to stop all those. So how can we do all that? So actions are propelled by desire. But there is a particular type of action which is nishkama karmam, desireless action. So do that desireless action, that is bhakti. So in bhakti, what does a bhakta do? If we look at bhaktas, we can easily find out. If we look at bhaktas, they'll say, what's happening? Oh, Ishvara is doing everything. Oh, what happened yesterday? Oh, Ishvara gave me a beautiful experience yesterday. What happened today? Ishvara gave a beautiful experience today. What is this daily beautiful experience? Of course, everything is beautiful because everything is Ishvara Kripa. And this is what Ramana Maharshi says as Ishvara Arpitam Naichaya Kritam Chitta Shodakam Mukti Sadakam Ishvara Arpitam, that which is offered to Ishvara. Which means there is no naichaya kritam, there is no desire in such action. So action which are done as an offering to Ishvara, which means remembering Ishvara, automatically there we cannot desire anything. Can we desire anything when we remember Ishvara? No. Ishvara's very thought removes all desires. So if Ishvara is there with us, Ishvara Chinta is there, we know like who that Ishvara is. Ishvara Chinta means what? That Ishvara who pervades the entire world. That Ishvara who alone exists. If that Ishvara Chinta is there, then how can we seek anything? How can we desire anything? We cannot desire at all. Still, actions will continue. So, here Loka Veda Vyapara Nyasaha we have to understand as actions propelled by desire. That is Sakama Karmam is completely renounced, whereas nishkama karmam, karma happens as nishkamam, karma happens without any desire, without any seeking of fruit. So a bhakta, a true bhakta is a person who implements this perfectly. A true bhakta is one who is completely abiding in Ishvara, so everything is done by Ishvara. So if we ask a Mahatma like Amma, as to Amma, like what did you do yesterday? Amma will say, Amma did everything. Amma did everything. Who is that Amma? Ishvara, Jagadishvara. He did everything. He is doing everything. He did everything. He will do everything. And the perfect disciple perfect devotee that we can find in the recent past is Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, who was a realized master, but still Devi does it. So whenever people used to come to him, he used to speak about Devi, not about himself. So that is a perfect devotee. A perfect devotee is one who has renounced all actions So renouncing actions has two aspects to it. One is desirelessness, and the second is when there is no desire, and when it is an offering, then there is no sense of ego, sense of doership. So doership, kartrutvam it's called. So doership and desire, kamam, those are the two aspects of karma. Both of these aspects give a person dukkham. For a bhakta, doership is not there because everything is done by Ishvara. I have offered everything, so that means Ishvara is doing. Whether it is good or bad, Ishvara is doing. And desire is also not there. Kamam is not there because such a devotee knows that everything is Ishvara, so there is nothing to be desired. Of course, this desirelessness or nishkamam will be missing in people who just blame Ishvara. Oh, why did you do this? Oh, Ishvara did it. He did it. So Chinmayananda gives a beautiful story, very beautiful story, to illustrate this point. There's some people might say, oh Swamiji, they'll go to Chinmayananda and say, oh Swamiji, like my brother is very good. He has good thoughts, good actions, everything. But I always do bad actions. This Ishvara, he gave me those bad thoughts. How come Ishvara gave you? Because everything is given by Ishvara. Everything is given by Ishvara. So everything is not there, everything is not given by Ishvara. So everything is given by Ishvara as long as the fruit we gain or is bad. When the fruit is good, oh, I did it. I have done it. I am doing it. So we add our own, like Ishvara, like whatever happens in the world is given by Ishvara. There is only good in it, but we add our part to it. So once two brothers were staying in a house. One of the brother was married. He had a wife. So they both, like, they were a very good family. So daily at night they used to eat together. So one day, they were eating together in the house. So one day when they were eating together, of course, after a few days, like I forgot, after a few days, the second brother also got married. So two brothers and their wives. So they ate together. So one day what happened was, like, the younger brother found that, he ate, and when it was like around midnight, he had to get up and he brought out everything. So he vomited everything out. So one day that happened, second day also it happened, third day also it happened. So his wife, so as Chinmayananda beautifully again says that his wife advised. Of course, wives are for advice. Wives don't do anything, they just advise. So the wife advised, your brother's wife is cooking food. So she's putting some poison in your plate. So that is what this is. I'll give you an solution to it, try this out. So she gave a solution. What was the solution? Quite simple. So they were both ready to eat. The elder brother's wife gave food or kept food for her husband and the younger brother, both of them. The younger brother all of a sudden swapped plates. So swapping. So he swapped plates. And the elder brother looked at him. Oh, what a fellow you are. You are so childlike even now. He cursed, he abused him a little, like abuse means like happily, out of love, he scolded him and then he ate. The younger brother was looking at the elder brother's wife's face and she was also very happy. So he thought, what a wife. She's happily seeing her husband eating poisonous food. So saying that, he also ate. It was night, midnight. The same thing happened, he brought out. And then the wife again advised his wife, younger brother's wife again advised. Okay, now I think you should go to the doctor. So he went to the doctor, family doctor. The family doctor looked at him and said, oh, I cannot look into you. There is something wrong with your tooth. But I cannot look at your tooth. You should go to the dentist. I'll give you my card. So as Chinmayananda again says, doctors share. So whenever they get a person, It's a policy, so they just share. It's like sharing. So they'll say, "Oh, my friend, like that bad dentist is there. He's a very good person. He's my close friend. Go, I'll give you." Of course, they want people, therefore they share. They are a good family, the doctor family. Of course, politicians don't do that. That's a different thing. So this person, like the younger brother, went to the doctor. The doctor looked at his told, "Open your mouth." He looked at his teeth and he asked, "Are you living?" The younger brother was surprised. "What?" The doctor said, "Are you living?" Then the younger brother said, "Of course I am living. What do you mean?" Then the doctor said, Your mouth is totally spoiled. Like a lot of fungus and other things are there in your mouth. And that is the reason why you brought out food. It's not the food that was poisonous. Your mouth had poison in it, and therefore you brought out." Similarly, everything in the world, whatever we see, is only good. Whatever Ishvara does is for our good only. But what we do, whatever Ishvara does to us, like we don't want to follow it, and thereby we make it bad. And when it becomes bad, what? "Oh, Ishvara Arpitam, he gave me. So it's very easy. "Well, I'm suffering, like I know the cause of this suffering." Like Buddha, we can say, "I have suffering in the world," first truth. Second truth is, this suffering has a cause. Third truth is what? This suffering is given by Ishvara. And fourth truth is, since Ishvara is giving me suffering, let him solve it first. So that would happen. So we have to understand that it's not just attributing, saying that everything is Ishvara's will, but along with that desireless state. Desireless state means whether Ishvara gives good or bad, as Amma says. If Ishvara does something good, or something good happens to us, then Ishvara's grace. If something bad happens, Ishvara's will. That will be the state of a devotee. So such a devotee, like he has renounced all actions because of two reasons. One is kartrutvam. He doesn't have any ego sense there because he is offering everything to Ishvara. Ishvara, he is just an instrument in Ishvara's hand, because that is ultimate truth as well. But he remembers it. And the second is, he doesn't desire anything. Ishvara chinta is there. What else does he need? Of course, we can have a doubt here. So if this is the case, if renunciation of action, renunciation of everything is there, then will actions really happen in the world? So Narada clarifies, saying that actions will still happen. We have already discussed it, but Narada says in the next sutra that actions will still happen. Why actions will still happen? Because this Nirodham has a different, like can be explained in a different way. So Nirodham means what? Nirodham means renunciation of actions, but it can be explained in a different way as well. What is the different way? Tasminnananyata tadvirodhishu udasinatacha. So two things. Nirodham means, it has two aspects to it. Nirodham means tasminnananyata, that is one aspect. Tadvirodhishu udasinata. So tasmin means in Ishvara, ananyata. Ananyata means ananya bhajanam in Ishvara. So always remembering Ishvara. Tadvirodhishu, whatever is against Ishvara chinta, against Ishvara, udasinata, at that time becoming really sad. So now, okay, I'll not explain it immediately now, because Narada explains these two words in the next two sutras. So anyashrayanam tyago ananyata. What is ananyata? To tasmin in Ishvara ananya bhajanam. Wherever Ishvara's thought, or whenever Ishvara's thought is not there, whatever is against Ishvara, udasinata. So ananyata means what? Anyashrayanam tyagah. Anyashrayanam, other dependencies, tyagah, renouncing all other dependencies. What means? That means that a real bhakta, what will be the state of a real bhakta? A real bhakta will say, "I need only Ishvara. I don't need any other dependency." So if we look at Amma, we can find that So when Amma's parents sent her out of the house, she still was able to live. She didn't say, "Oh, my parents, I am done for life." She didn't say that. She depended on Ishwara. Any time when Gayatri, like Amma's main disciple, Amrita Prana, when she went to the Himalayas, like Amma had given her the promise that when Amma will leave the mortal coil, she will also take Gayatri with her. After making such statements, when Gayatri like went to Himalayas, Amma still dependent on Ishwara. So Amma is always depending on Ishwara. That is a real bhakta state. Anya ashrayam, all other dependencies a bhakta will renounce, which means that he'll always be depending only on Ishwara. So only on Ishwara means, oh, that doesn't mean that, oh, I should depend only on Ishwara, so let me throw this phone away and then let me throw the car away and then let me meet Amma. Then we cannot meet Amma. So that's not what is meant here. It's just that Ishwara is the ultimate, or the first person that we depend on. So all other dependencies, when they obstruct Ishwara's dependency, then we will renounce them. That is a devotee state. A devotee will renounce whatever comes in the way of Ishwara Chinta. So Anya Ashrayanam Tyagaha, that is Ananyata. That means always depending on Ishwara, maybe not depending on anything else, maybe depending on other things as well. That is fine. Ishwara's dependency, that should always be there. And when Ishwara Chinta is not there, Loka Vedeshu Tad Anukula Acharanam Tad Virodishu Udasinata. So Tad Virodishu Udasinata, becoming sad when we face things against Ishwara, means that Loka Vedeshu, in the with respect to world, with respect to the Vedas. Vedas means Vaidic activities like Sandhya Vandanam, etc. So worldly as well as Vaidika activities, Tat Anukula Acharanam, doing it for Ishwara, that is Tad Virodishu Udasinata. So it's in a way like we should say that it is opposite. So Tasmin Ananyata, Ananyata means like we should, like Tasmin Ananyata Tad Virodishu Udasinata, we have to swap Tasmin and Tad Virodishu in both the places. So to make it simple, Ananyata means negative way, that means not depending on anything else, and Udasinata means always doing actions for Ishwara, always depending on Ishwara. So not depending on anything else and always depending on Ishwara. So this also means, like in a way, Udasinata also means that always depending on Ishwara. So whenever we can't depend on Ishwara, then really becoming sad. So that means when a person forgets Ishwara, he'll become really sad. So that is Nirodham. So Nirodham means renouncing all actions. So what does renouncing means? Renouncing means just not external action, but the doership and desire, those two aspects of action. And in other words, doing actions remembering Ishwara. So having Ishwara in actions, that is Nirodham. So Nirodham means depending, always depending on Ishwara, that means always remembering Ishwara while doing actions. And that's what Narada explained as Tad Virodishu Udasinata, means Loka Vedeshu Tad Anukula Acharanam. So in short, always having the thought of Ishwara, that is Nirodham. So Sakama Karmam, Karma with Kamam, Sakamam and Sakartratva. So actions with doership, actions with desires, renouncing, and then always doing actions remembering Ishwara, offering on to Ishwara without any desires. The minute a person offers actions onto Ishvara, the minute a person depends only on Ishvara, what else can he desire? When a person depends on Ishvara, can he desire Ishvara? Of course, he cannot desire Ishvara, because if Ishvara's thought is always there, how can he desire? What is desire? Desire is seeking something which is not there. So, when a person is remembering Ishvara, how can he desire to remember Ishvara? Of course, that cannot be done. Initially, yes, I should desire to attend Narada Bhakti Sutra. We can't say that. Maybe Srini can say that, I have the desire to attend Narada Bhakti Sutra. Yes, he can say that because he is not part of it now. But whoever is part of it cannot say that. There can be no desire because Ishvara Chinta is always there. So, in bhakti, whenever a person is following bhakti, there is no desire in it. There is no desire for liberation as well, because such a person is offering everything onto Ishvara. Everything in the sense actions he is offering to Ishvara. If actions are offered, that means desires are also offered. If desires are offered, then that means thought. There is always the thought of Ishvara, which means nothing else will be sought. Nothing else will be required to sought or seeking. There will be no seeking at all. So, of course, initially this cannot be implemented as such. So initially a person would be seeking something and then seeking Ishvara as well. But as days pass by, he'll find that he is able to seek Ishvara. Seek Ishvara means that seeking, he is seeking Ishvara, which means he forgets, he seeks, he forgets, he seeks. And as he progresses, there will be no seeking, because Ishvara Chinta will be always there. And the easiest way to do that is renouncing actions. Renouncing actions means always doing actions with a sense of offering to Ishvara and without desires, kartrutvam and kamam. So the sense of doership and seeking or desiring something, those both has to vanish. So we can judge, like the easy way to judge that is, if whatever happens to us, we are unaffected by it, then that means we are not the doer. It's like telling that, okay, how do I know that, like, I don't have the sense of eating or eatership? There is no word called eatership. So the doership for eating, how do I know? Simple. If after eating you feel, oh, this food is not good, this food is good, if there is some such feeling in the mind, then that means there is doership. Whereas a bhakta will eat happily whatever he gets. Even if he doesn't get, he will be happy. So that is with respect to actions, always remembering Ishvara. Remembering Ishvara. Okay, remembering Ishvara is very simple to put it. So Narada here is telling it a little deeper than that, or little simpler for us. No sense of doership and no sense of desire. So that is what Narada explains here. So there is no scope for desire in bhakti, because bhakti is of the nature of nirodham, renunciation of doership as well as desire. So renunciation in simple words means renouncing all actions, but renunciation also means that not depending on anything else and always depending on Ishvara, always doing actions with respect to Ishvara, remembering Ishvara and not forgetting Ishvara. We'll continue with what Narada says about after realized state, where a person is realized but still living in the world. So in that state, what should a person do? But we'll see in the next day. Namaskar.